Rave Radio. Gary K's Almost Daily Rants and Raves.
The Week.
The Women in AV Wavecast.
Green AV.
Hello, Rave listeners, and welcome to The Week on Rave Radio. I'm Joel Rollins. The Week is brought to you, as usual, by Mitsubishi, makers of all kinds of products for the professional audiovisual industry. You should check out more about that at Mitsubishi.com. Probably the biggest item in the news this week for AV is AVI SPL's acquisition of Duocom in Canada. Duocom is a major Canadian distributor of audiovisual products and installer, and this will extend AVI SPL's reach north of the border quite a bit. There'll be more about this in the week to come. This is a scoop by Rave, acquired from personal information. Anyway, so we'll be commenting on that next week. In the meantime, what I'd like to do this week is to return to our interview with Dr. Peter Bocco, the Chief Technology Officer at Corning Glass, so that we can talk about how some of their developments will affect the audiovisual industry in the future. As well, Dr. Bocco will be the keynote speaker at this year's Digital Signage Exposition. You can find out more about that at the website that will be posted on our blog. And also, there is a discount for Rave listeners by going to their registration page and just entering the discount code RAVE. In the meantime, let's return to last week's interview with Dr. Peter Bocco. We pick this up midstream with Dr. Bocco's comments on his appearance at DSE.
One of the reasons that I get involved with the Digital Signage Exposition is because I find that this area is one of the areas of public displays and the information displays where there's a lot of innovation, where it's actually being adopted, at least in the large formats, before it goes into the consumer space. So if somebody is interested in know what might be coming to the living room in a few years, it's a good idea to check out the what's happening at DSE.
Absolutely. I mean, one of the things, as you just mentioned, we see a lot of innovation in that end of the space simply because the dollars to implement it are spread over so many contact people that it's much more cost effective to do that yet than it is in home. So we see a lot of things happen there first. How much can you tell us? We've been going all week long over why people in our industry should be attending DSE this year. Without giving too much away, how much can you tell us about the presentation you're going to make?
Well, I'm going to be, trying to create this vision of what our future is going to be looking like. And I've been working at Corning for 33 years. And believe it or not, I've done some useful work over the years. But in my old age, I'm becoming more of a philosopher. And what I'm looking for is this ubiquitous, interconnected environment to try to create this, very compelling vision of that. And what I want to do in my talk is to kind of put that in perspective and say this is nothing new. I mean, this whole era that's emerging is just a continuation of decades-long trends. I'll talk a little bit about what the role of engineered glass can be in this and what we expect in the future. And I'll talk about some new roles in glass that I'm personally excited with. Now, essentially glass in consumer electronics, which also goes to the digital signage in the public display area, it's essentially got two roles. One, it's just a gracious host for the microelectronics that are used in OLEDs and LCDs and so on. The second role is that is a structural element. I mean, that's the role of Gorilla. It's just tough. It makes these things so that they can stand up to the abuse of everyday life. But we find that there's other roles that glass can take. One of the ones, and I'll be showing a couple pictures of it, is glass is actually modifying the image. There was an image in the original Day Made of Glass. We've made two. In the first one, there was an image that I had our production house put in very mindfully of a display that had no bezel. And so we've been playing some tricks is what can we do to glass to kind of bend the light a little bit to make like the bezel disappear. And the reason that you'd like to do that is that you know, the display is kind of like an intrusion to your environment, and you like it to disappear in the environment where essentially you're not differentiating between what's real and what's virtual. And at least for the younger people, that's an attractive future. Another stunt I was actually going to talk a little bit about is that we've made some discoveries that, you know, glass can be an outstanding medium for reproducing sound. And we've been doing some experimentation in the lab. It's very preliminary. It's not necessarily a new effect, but I think with the new engineered glasses, it's going to be very interesting, is that we can create sound on the screen, and it's a much better audio experience than what you can have by having separate speakers or having, like in the modern TV, the sound is actually coming down or from the back, where it seems to be disembodied from the screen. So my feeling is that this immersive display experience is going to require improvements in the form factor of display and also in the audio reproduction. And we're very excited that we think glass can be a good medium for doing that. And one of the things that we're trying to do, and it's not that big a trick, is like showing a race car going across the screen. You can actually make the sound follow it across the screen. So it's just not necessarily going to be a big business opportunity for us. It's just pointing out kind of some new roles of glass that it can play. Now, back to the digital signage area, you mentioned the fact that you can spread the cost out over many users. The other thing that I wanted to point out is that the value proposition for certain augmented display, incremental improvements on the display experience have a strong value proposition in the public arena, stronger than what it is in private. One of the points I would like to make is like 3D display has been disappointing thus far. It really hasn't driven TV sales. It certainly hasn't driven Blu-ray sales. But just imagine a auto stereoscopic 3D experience in the public arena. When you're going to the store and you're trying to you're going to be making a purchasing decision, to have they actually have the display kind of reach out and grab you, you know, there's a lot of value in that. And we're excited about some of these display augmentations that might increase the value in the public arena.
That's, you know, that is another place where I spend a lot of time working in the virtual reality meeting environment. One of the things that I do in my professional life is I've constructed several virtual reality training campuses. And one of the things that, you know, we're looking at pretty heavily is the idea that once we can get to displays that don't require separate eyewear, et cetera, to do a true 3D image, then those meeting environments become all the more valuable. So that's something that we're waiting for at our end quite a lot.
And just imagine a display where it could be like a auto stereoscopic 3D, and you don't need a lot. I mean, you know, to poke people in the eye with a stick, to me, is a rather primitive, you know, emotive a stimulus, you know. But to have just it come out of the screen a little bit where you're not aware that you're actually looking at just a electronic surface, I think it's very powerful. And back to the point about sound, and just imagine in your auto stereoscopic video conferencing display, if it seems like the sound is coming from the image itself. And, you know, the fact that I make this point again and again, and I think it's this point that I made at last year's DSC that got me invited back to this one. The point of these high-performance displays, it's not about the gadgets. It's about the ability of the gadgets to connect people to people, you know? Whether we, you know, for the better or worse, we use TVs, we use displays and cell phones. It's really about connecting us to other people, other information, and so on. And that's one of the things that we have to keep in mind as we ponder the future of this ubiquitous display.
I did some work early on with Sony when they were first introducing their first array of high-definition projectors. And we did an experiment years ago where we showed two screens identical. One had separate speakers, a fairly good surround sound system. The other was a perforated screen with the speakers behind the screen so that the sound came from the screen. Uh-huh. And we asked them to rate the picture rather than the audio, but the actual experiment was the audio. And they walked away saying that not only was the perforated screen brighter and sharper, it was larger than the other screen, which gives you, you know, what you've been saying, the effect of true directionality of sound lending that much more to the reality of the image.
Mm-hmm.
When you made A Day Made of Glass, did that just come from, you know, you wanted to show as many things, or was there a specific thing that caused you to make that?
Well, you know, I'll tell kind of a, this is a little bit of a long story, but, you know, the what we represented in that video is something that has been kind of a cultural given in Corning for a number of years. And, you know, for example, you know, Corning invented the optical fiber, which is now the backbone of, you know, this information society. You know, with all the wireless still, you know, getting to wireless towers, it's done by optical fiber. And then we had the display business, which started to really take off in the 1990s. And I was there at the very beginning, so I've seen the whole sweep. And then we recognized, I did this for my an old boss, that I plotted out the bandwidth, evolution of bandwidth, with the evolution of square feet of display, meaning a viewing area on that. And I found out that, gosh, they're the same curve. It's just that it's offset in time, meaning you build the bandwidth first, and then, you know, you need the displays in order to show all the information that's being carried over the bandwidth, which then creates a demand for more bandwidth. You install more optical fiber, and then you get more. Then it's pulling for better and more display. So I call this like a virtuous cycle, because, you know, it's good for business, for both of Corning's business. So we've been recognizing, you know, all these little trends coming together, like the miniaturization of LCDs and for the cell phone, and how that's been very strategic from our customers, going to larger and larger screens being used, the television being used for much more functionality rather than just a passive thing to show entertainment. So we've had this this vision for a long period of time. So the original idea of The Day Made of Glass is came from our chairman, that he wanted to talk to employees and also shareholders to get them excited about our prospects, because Corning, you know, was in the business of information delivery through our optical fiber and telecommunication businesses, and the information rendition, which is our display business. So our chief financial officer said, well, you know, we're going to have to do this ourselves because it doesn't exist. So they hired a production company by the name of Doremus, which is just brilliant. I was pulled in as since I was seen as the keeper of this vision of ubiquitous display and this interconnected environment, and I was brought in to be the technical, leader for it. And, you know, we worked together, we brainstormed, we came up with a number of effects, and we were so pleased when it turned out that, you know, we put it on YouTube. And I think about 20 million hits later, here we are. And even though Corning is only a glass company, I mean, we do touch a lot of the big innovators in the business, and we're able to pick up in a lot of trends that somebody who's specializing one area might miss. So that's kind of how it came about. Originally, it was intended for just internal consumption, and it was so good that we found it to be a good way to open up a conversation with customers that maybe that we haven't innovated before. Because that's what I found. I've spent most of my career working with customers in Asia. It would have been great if there would have been more display innovation in the United States, but it just didn't happen. And Asians tend to be kind of shy and reticent, and they don't necessarily want to, you know, share what their thinking is. But I've used The Day Made of Glass as an icebreaker. I put it on and saying, this is what we see the future being like, and we think it's going to be opportunity for both of us. And it's a way to get the juices flowing, and sooner or later we end up collaborating on one of the effects to try to actually make it real.
Well, both those videos certainly do, I mean, set the mind buzzing with ideas. And I think you've really belied your own statement that Corning is only a glass company, if you can define that way. I think it's pretty amazing stuff. And I know that people at DSE are going to be very, very anxious to see that. And I'm going to leave you, since we're running out of time, with a thought, which is, you know, you're talking about in your old age and younger people working under you. Well, people who know how always wind up working for someone who knows why.
Okay.
And I think that that's something that we're going to be really looking forward to. And I know that I'm looking forward to seeing your presentation at DSE.
Well, Joe, it's been a great pleasure for me, too, and that's a profound thought that I'll remember.
Well, thank you very much, and I'll look forward to seeing you at the show.
Okay.
Thanks for being with us. And that concludes our interview with Dr. Peter Bacco. See more of Dr. Peter Bacco at DSE this year. We'll be looking for it, and I'll try and catch up with you afterwards with some of the information from his presentation on the future of our display industry. In the meantime, thanks for listening to Rave Radio. I'm Joel Rollins, and have a great week.